Let's pray. Father, as we gather together again in this place by the Spirit, we've come before you with gladness and thanksgiving in our hearts for how you're caring for each one of us, our families. You continue to take care of us financially, spiritually, economically, physically, every way possible. We thank you as our lives are committed and submitted to you, that you're faithful to watch over your word, to perform it in each of us, and that your word will not return void. And so we thank you this morning as we gather before your word comes forth today. We thank you that there are many who are praying for our president, for our governors, and for others in leadership. And it would be wise of us also that we as a body would add our faith and release it together with others in the faith community. So, Father, we want to take this few minutes and continue in prayer for a few moments and lift up our president. Lord, we ask on his behalf that any voices that President Trump is currently receiving counsel from that are not from you would be silenced and exposed, especially as it relates to this COVID-19 situation. Lord, we ask that any evil agenda, whether it be economic, spiritual, or political, that is trying to attach itself to this pandemic would be torn down in the name of Jesus. Your word says in John 10:10 that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but you have come that we would have life and have it more abundantly. Father, we recognize that there is a fight for authority in the spiritual realm. You have anointed our president, and the decrees that he makes must not be disarmed and reversed by the enemy. Our president made a decree that by Easter, many sectors and spheres would open back up. Days later, that prophetic decree was overturned and reversed. The enemy is at work, and an alarm must be sounded. We as a body of believers remain attentive and actively keep our eyes and ears specifically on this battle for the president's words and his decrees, that they be carried out. We pray that any muzzle trying to be placed on our president's mouth would be broken in Jesus' name. And may the president's mouth be open, and may he make righteous and wise decrees in the United States. And may we as the church open up our mouths and speak forth the word of God, for it brings life wherever it's spoken. We take authority over the spirit of Jezebel and command it be thrown down in Washington, D.C. We pray for the physical protection of the president, all of his family, and that no plan for any harm to him in any way would succeed. We pray that any financial crisis and hardship that the USA endures would not turn people unnecessarily against our president. We also pray for our governors and local authorities, that you would cause them to be aware of the spirit of division and mutiny that may seek to cause confusion, oppression, and chaos in the months ahead. And we pray for our religious freedoms to be protected. And may we remember, and this is really important, may we remember that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. And so, Father, we together as a body, we say amen, and we thank you for the countless Christians that are praying all over the world for this situation to be resolved. And with that in mind, Lord, we just say thank you, and we know and realize that you are way bigger than all of this, and that you hear the cries of your people, and that we should not be worried, we should not be in fear, we should be in faith, and speaking words of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, we thank you for your word today that will encourage us, that will keep us focused and on track, that we not lose sight of the battle that is being waged in this country. Today I want to talk to you about worry, which is fear in disguise. So that's going to be our topic today. Worry, fear in disguise. And a lot of times we all know people, and perhaps we've done it ourselves. We've we've allowed ourselves to let worry take over and consume our thoughts at times. And during those times, it's really hard to be thinking about releasing the power of our faith in what God has spoken. And I would just like to share some things this morning from the Word with you. And it's a reminder to all of us as we hear these words out loud, not just written, but actually spoken. And we know that God is very much against worry. Jesus preached against it. Paul preached against it. And the whole Bible preaches against worry because it was designed by Satan to produce stress, strain, and death. I want to say that again. The whole Bible preaches against worry because it was designed by Satan to produce stress, strain, and death. So if you're experiencing any of those things, you can clearly identify what the spiritual source is behind it. And I looked up some things that worrying causes in the natural realm. You know, we always, as believers, we're concerned about spiritual truths and understanding things of the Spirit. But there's also this earth suit that we still live in and how worry affects us if it goes unchecked and we don't learn to do something about it, because we can as believers. These are some of the manifestations in our bodies, in our flesh, if we're the type of person who can get into worrying to the point of just losing your opportunity, if you will, to think clearly. These are some of the things that worrying can do. It can affect our daily life so much that it may interfere with our appetite, lifestyle habits, relationships, and even our sleep and job performance. Many people who worry excessively are so anxiety-ridden that they seek relief in harmful lifestyle habits such as overeating, cigarette smoking, or using alcohol and drugs. So we can see that even just from these few things, worry is a big thing. And I know people who worry so much, they worry when they don't have anything to worry about. It's almost like a ministry from hell given to them. They're assigned to worry for everything and worry on everybody else's behalf. And I'm always thankful for the ones that worry for me, because I don't worry for me. I don't worry. I have my opinions and my thoughts, my observations, just like all of you. But I don't let worry consume me, because all of us in this room that gather here for so many years, we have learned where worry comes and that it is not something that the Lord has given us or even sent our way. And yet, many of us still act as if it's an option. And I've often said, wow, you can worry if you want to, but you don't really need to. And I want to take it a step further, as the word is not a suggestion. It's a word from the Lord, and he tells us that worry is a sin, because anything that's not of faith is sin. So that puts worry in a category maybe we hadn't really thought about too much. But worry is rooted in fear that God will not keep his promises to us. And it's one of those things the Word of God directly commands us not to do. And so what are we supposed to do then with all the concerns that you and I have about our problems? Well, let's look at a few scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, King James Version says this: casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And notice that word says all. I know we've talked about that before. In other scriptures, the word all is used. It means there's no exceptions. All means everything. So everything, not 75% of them, not just a few that we worry about our kids or our grandchildren or our jobs, our home, our lives, our marriages, our relationships with others. It says all of them. And this is so important, because if we hang on to stuff, it gets in the way and it needs to go. And we need to learn when we start recognizing we're getting into worry and fear, we need to cast that thing down in the name of Jesus and look up scriptures that pertain to that issue and begin to speak the word. So when we look at these scriptures, God says that we should cast them all upon him. And our confession every morning, our confession is what we speak, the words that we speak. We should not get up every morning and say, I'm going to be worried today. I'm going to worry about everything I hear in the news media. I'm going to worry about everything I read in the papers. No, our confession should be something similar to this. I do not have a care in this world because I've cast every one of them over onto the Lord. And I want to give you an example. It's maybe a silly little thing, but yet it's very practical because I get word pictures a lot, and they're like a parable. And so I'm standing, I would say, probably 20 feet from where Kenny sits, generally in the front row over here to my right. And I toss my car keys to him, and my car is out there in the parking lot, but Kenny now has my keys. And if someone comes to me, oh, let's just say, I'm just going to pick a name, Andy. Something happened to Andy in Mary's car, and they needed a car. And Andy comes to me, and he says, Rick, Brother Rick, I need the keys to your car. I need to use it. And I would say, Andy, I can't help you there. I gave my keys to Ken, and I don't have them anymore. So you're going to have to ask him. And this is the same thing when we cast our cares on the Lord. When the enemy comes and wants to torment us or dig up something, we can say, I'm sorry, but I don't have those cares anymore because I cast them over on the Lord. And if you're gonna try to get those things back on me, you need to run it by God first, because he's the one that has my cares now. I don't have them. I don't possess them. But I can tell you where to get them if you want to take them back. But you're going to have to go to the Lord to get them, because that's who I gave them to. And just like those keys, just like those car keys, I don't have them. Kenny's got them. If you want them, you're going to go ask him. And once we start thinking along those lines, things really begin to change. Things begin to take place. Problems that we've been fretting about for years will start being solved. Why? Because we're letting God work it out. We gave them to him. It's just like when we pray for each other. You may come up and we have a time of prayer, and all of us in the room are praying together for each other. We're releasing our faith that this matter is taken care of because we've prayed properly. We've prayed according to the word. We've prayed according to the will of the Father. And he says that being confident of this very thing, that if we ask anything according to his will or his word, he hears us, and we have the confidence that we have those things that we asked of him. And so we don't have to worry about it anymore. And so we will no longer be tying up God's hands with worry, because if we're in worry, then we're in fear, and God does not answer prayers in fear. Our motive must be we ask in faith, not in fear. And so it frees his power, the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit up inside of each one of us, that we've acted in faith and cast our cares on him. And the Holy Spirit can now be free to minister to us, through us, in us, around us, and to all that we come in contact with, so that we're not binding the work of the Spirit. And always remember this. God's not going to take our cares away from us all on his own, because he will never take away anything that we're not willing to give him. But if you have to give them to him, or if you come to that place where you realize, I'm not going to carry these cares anymore, I'm not going to carry these worries anymore, and you give them to him, then he's a good receiver, and he will receive them. But then you're going to have to, like all those word studies we had, we're going to learn to substitute words and speak more things that are in line with the word, and even speak the word. And you and I are the ones who has to keep our thoughts under control. And we can do that. I know a lot of people have to have a radio playing or some kind of background because they can't stand the thoughts that are going on in their heads. I don't have an issue like that. I don't mind being in a quiet room. In fact, I kind of like doing these messages here at the church. I miss all of you, but I'm standing in the pulpit. I got my microphones on up here, and as I look out, there is such a peace in this place. And I know that this word is going to speak to you wherever you're going to hear it, and whenever you're going to hear it, and whatever your response is to it. I love being here. We've been here many, many, many years together, and this is a little bit new for me and for you as well, but it's a good opportunity just to be thankful that we can still get the word to each other, we can still call each other. But anyways, when our mind starts wandering in our thoughts, we need to realize that the greater one, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. The unsaved can't do a lot about their thoughts, but we can. And God has enabled us to do that. He's able to put us over the hump and to commit to it. And you'll never have to worry again. And as you fight the good fight of faith today, remember this. Your mind is where the battle takes place. I have a book, I think three copies of it, by Francis Frangipane, who wrote a book called The Three Battlegrounds. And one of those three battlegrounds was the battleground of the mind, because Satan wants to set up strongholds in our minds to keep us from receiving, to keep us from hearing, to keep us from thinking on, to keep us from meditating on the word, because he knows that once we start getting the word down inside of us and our minds begin to be renewed, we're going to be able to keep him under our feet where he belongs, and that he's not going to run roughshod over us, because our minds have been renewed to the word, and we're going to speak the word in place of worry. We speak words of faith. We speak words of hope, healing, deliverance, freedom, love, joy, peace, and all the other fruit of the Spirit. Those are the things that we're going to learn to speak. And so we're not going to allow the enemy to take our minds captive. And so if we want that word to reign or to rule or to give us control and direction, we have to make up our mind now that we're going to resist him by our faith when he comes to plant doubts within each of us and refuse to surrender to the outside pressure he brings our way. Decide at the onset that you will not succumb to this trial that the enemy is trying to put you on to separate you from the Lord, and you just are held by your fears and worries. Dig in your heels and stand immovable upon the promises of God, like we talked about last week. We talked about being immovable. And when thoughts come that are contrary to God's will, remember to cast them down. And that word cast is a wonderful word, because many of us have fished. Now, I know Priscilla and Genevieve and others that in the congregation that like to go fishing, whether you're using bait or lures, and you might be on shore, you might be on a pier, you might be in a boat, but one of the things you do with the bait or the lure is you cast it out. That means it's not just going to fall off the end of the fish pole all by itself. You have to put some physical action behind it. You have to seek the spot where you're going to cast it, where you want to put that lure or where you want to put that bait, and that's where you throw it. You make a quality decision to throw it or to cast it. And that's what we need to do with thoughts that are taking us away from where we ought to be thinking. We need to get this picture of casting those thoughts, because that's what the word said. And I'd like to read these scriptures too. And they're very, very helpful. And please go back, read them again, mark them if you haven't. Make it a point to meditate on them, maybe memorize a few verses that are really, really helpful, because you might not be where you can grab your Bible and a situation comes up and you really need to have that word working. And so it's 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. And I'll say that again so you have a chance to write it down so that you can look it up later. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. And it says this, For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And there you have it. We have to remember that we're not in a war against flesh and blood. We're in a war against spirits that are not our friends. And their job is to put obstacles in our way to separate us from our Heavenly Father, putting thoughts in our minds that are contrary to the Word so that He can set up a stronghold. And by that, I mean every time something happens, if He has a stronghold of worry or fear in our mind, that's where we're going. And that's exactly what He wants to do. But this Word tells us that we can cast them down and bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ. And you've heard me talk about that before, where I just said quite simply, Jesus is the jailer of my ungodly thoughts, and I need to lock them up, and He's the jailer. And He's very faithful about keeping them as well. So kind of remember that as a parable. And above all, don't worry. Worrying is meditating on the thoughts of Satan. When you recognize you are worrying, stop it immediately. Don't let it fester. Don't let it grow. Don't let it take over your situation to where you feel you have no more control over it. Replace worried, fearful, and doubtful thoughts with the Word. We've talked about that a lot as well. And be assured, this is a sure thing, that our enemy is going to continuously try to tell us that our situation is hopeless, you got no hope. He will persistently peddle like a street peddler with a cart going down the street crying out, apples, tomatoes, pears, pumpkin squash, worry, fear, doubt, unbelief, come and get some. I have a special price. I've marked down worry today so you can buy a double portion to make sure you have enough for tomorrow. If you've ever been to a place where they have street vendors, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And that's what the devil does. He's like a little street vendor going down the street with his little cart, peddling all this stuff. And if he tries to do it by mail, always remember to send it back to the return address, hell. He will persistently peddle doubt, defeat, and discouragement, but if you won't allow him to sell you his goods, his commission will be zero, because it's all about commission. Every one of us that he can knock off goes as another Christian under his belt that he's defeated today. And sometimes that happens, and it can happen very quickly. But once we learn these things, once we apply them to our lives, we are going to be that much the better for it. But if you don't buy his lies, he can't cause them to come to pass in your life. Then I have couple really good verses that I want to bring to your attention as we come near the end of this message today. It isn't how long it is, it's the quality of it. What is God speaking to us today? I love this one. When before Ken and Laurie came, Mona was here for many years, and we all loved her and knew her, and she just had a precious way of leading us in praise and worship too. I mean, I love the people that God has hooked us up with over the years, but she used to do this song, and it's based on a verse of scripture, and the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. It's Romans 16:20. And I looked this up in several different translations, but the one I really, really liked, once again, it's the Passion Translation. It doesn't have the Old Testament yet, but they're working on it. But Romans 16:20, it says it like this. And I really like this because I have a vivid imagination. And the God of peace will swiftly pound Satan to a pulp under your feet, and the wonderful favor of our Lord Jesus will surround you. And then I looked a little further in the study notes, and underneath that, this word will soon pound Satan to a pulp. In the Greek, it's Suntribo, S-U-N-T-R-I-B-O, and it means to beat someone up to a jelly, like a paste, like a jelly. And that's what the God of peace has in mind for Satan. And every time he tries to put stuff on us, you always remember, I've talked about getting a marker and marking on the bottom of your feet the name of Jesus, or on the bottom of your shoes, so that everywhere you go, you put your foot down with confidence and claim the blessings and promises of the Father, that he can't steal them. But this actually said, and the God of peace will swiftly pound Satan to a pulp under your feet. Now that's victory. When we really get a hold of that when we walk as we're supposed to and speak the words of life that we've been given, that's what's going to happen to our enemy. He is not going to get any foothold in our lives. We are going to have the upper hand, I should say the upper foot, and boot him right where it hurts the most. And then, closing with this one, this is a wonderful promise too. I love the promises, because I was promised a lot of things all through my life by people, and many of them never came to pass. They were used to manipulate me or take advantage. And probably some of you can relate to that too. You were told a lot of things that never came to pass. But when God speaks, his word comes to pass, because he watches over his word to perform it, and it doesn't return to him void. So this is our closing scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. But thanks be to God, who always, underline the word always. If you've got your Bible out, make sure that you underline the word always. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ. And through us, he spreads and makes evident everywhere the sweet fragrance of the knowledge of him. It's important to know that everywhere we go, the words that we speak, our countenance, how do we handle touchy situations, how do we handle situations that could become confrontational, all hinges on, what do we have down on the inside of us? What have we got working for us? We have the Spirit and we have the Word. And it's wonderful. Every once in a while, when somebody might say of you, I can tell you've been with Jesus. And that's the witness. That's the thing that's going to make a difference. Each one of us are going to have a really good impact on people around us that don't have any hope right now, or their hopes are being diminished very quickly as days turn into weeks, and weeks have turned into a month and a half now. And so it's really important for us to know that God has promised that he will always cause us to triumph. That means to have the victory, to win. He made us winners and overcomers. And we need to really put our faith in words like that, because God sees us from a very different way than we see ourselves. You are guaranteed victory over any adversity you face today. Of course, the condition is that we do what God says to do. We don't want to be forgetful hearers like James talked about. We want to be a doer of the word, so that whatever result of that, it's going to be blessed and it's going to be good. So make up our minds right now to be a winner, and you will spread the knowledge of victory in Christ everywhere you go. And I really feel like this is a very timely message, and I know that probably a lot of other people who bring the word to their congregations are probably bringing similar messages, but I never feel like I have to compete with anybody. I'm thankful to the Lord that he gives us an opportunity to participate, and I'd rather be a participator than a competitor, because the word is good and it works. And so now, as we would normally do, I would like to close in prayer. And for those of you that have any needs, just by faith, wherever you are, put your hand where you're hurting. Put your head, put your hand on your head. If you're having trouble with fear and worry, I don't know if it's down in your heart, down in your spirit, put your hand on your chest, because we're going to speak. We're going to speak some words that are going to activate the Holy Spirit and bring healing, wholeness, restoration, deliverance, all the good things that Jesus gave us when he won all our battles for us on that cross. So, Father, we thank you for the time we spent together today, or whatever day that it is that each of us gets a chance to hear these words. We just thank you that they're just as alive now as they were when you spoke them thousands of years ago. Father, we thank you as concerning ourselves. We thank you for the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit to carefully guard our own mouths, and that we choose to speak life, blessing, and prosperity over our cities, our nation, and our leaders. We thank you that we've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of your dear Son. Lord, we commit to live free from worry in the name of Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has made us free from the law of sin and death. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand, that in due time you may exalt us. We make a quality decision according to your word, that we cast all of our cares, all our anxieties, and all our concerns and worries upon you. You care for us affectionately, and you care about us watchfully. You sustain us, and you will never allow the righteous to be moved or to slip or to fail or to fall. Father, we delight ourselves in you, and you perfect that which concerns us. We choose to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of you, as we read in the scriptures a few minutes ago, and we bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We lay aside every weight and the sin of worry which does try so easily to beset us. And we run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, we thank you that you are able to keep that which we have committed unto you. We think on things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, and deserving of praise. And we will not allow our hearts to be troubled. We abide in your word, and your words abide in us. And therefore we do not forget what manner of person we are. We look into the perfect law of liberty and continue in it, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, and thus blessed in our doing. Father, we thank you that we are carefree, and we walk in that peace which passes all understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're dismissed, and I really hope that this message will be of help to you. It's been a week since we were able to meet, and I feel it's really important that we need to check in with each other, keep the phone calls going, and keep remembering to speak words of encouragement to one another. Each one of us, our circumstances are different, and I don't want to use the world's thing, we're all in this together, but it's true, we are, but we have every tool that all of heaven has available to each one of us, to however long it takes, that's however long it takes, but we're not going to come out of this thing with our looking down at our feet in defeat. We're going to continue to look up, because it's the Lord who pours out his blessing and his favor upon each of us. So whatever you're doing the rest of the day, go in peace and be blessed, and know that you've got something that many people are going to be looking at you, and they're going to start asking questions of, how are you doing? And you can say, like one of our dear sisters from times past, I'm blessed, prosperous, and much to be envied. And that was her answer, and I love that. And maybe I'll borrow that this week, so she wouldn't mind if we share it together. So remember that when somebody asks, how are you doing this week? I'm blessed, I'm prosperous, and I'm much to be envied. And duck, because they might want to whack you with a brick. But it's the truth, and that's who you are, in Jesus' name. I love you all, and we'll hook up next week again, and the Lord will provide another good word for us. So thank you, and God bless each and every one of you. Until we come together again, bye for now.